Jesus Christ was dead. Dead as a doornail. That must be clearly understood if anything wondrous is going to come from the tale I'm about to tell. You see, the world, for the most part, hasn't cared that Jesus was born, nor has it cared that he died. And for many, they scoff at the good news that Jesus arose from the dead and returned to heaven, and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Indeed, many scoff at Christianity of those who take it seriously. To them, it's nothing but humbug, and they laugh. And if you asked some, they would be quick to say they're so tired of Christians who believe in the true meaning of Christmas, greeting one another with a Merry Christmas upon their lips. They just as soon boil them in their own pudding and bury them with a stake of holly through their heart. Even on Christmas Eve, the faithless look down upon those who believe. Often those who believe are not among the higher echelons of people of wealth or position, and they look down upon them as if they are fools. And they say if they have the choice, they'd rather go off to Bedlam. The marvelous thing is about God and his love for lost man, the Holy Spirit never stops searching. He searches far and wide, like the wind. No one knows where he comes from or where he goes. Always searching, calling out by name the lost. Tom! Dick! Mary! Scrooge. And he uses many means to get people's attention, to break through their barriers. Sometimes it comes through direct preaching. And sometimes it takes a while for that, and so other means are used to get their attention. Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's a face. Maybe it's a sound. But when the Spirit breaks through their consciousness, they are terrified and lean up against a wall trembling and call out in anguish, "Who are you?" And the Spirit standing there says, "I am the Holy Spirit." "Well, why do you come to me? What do you want of me?" And the Spirit simply says, "Much." In a means of trying to gain some control, the sinner says, "Can you sit down?" And the Spirit says, "I can." "Then do it." And they both sit down. The Spirit calmly looks at the sinner as he sits there trembling. And the sinner is just still scared. And the Spirit asks, "You don't believe in me, do you?" And the sinner says, "No, I don't." "Why do you doubt your senses?" "Well, a little thing can bother them. You might be a small plat of mustard, a piece of undigested beef, a piece of moldy cheese, a piece of underdone potato. There's more of gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I say." The Spirit yells. Just like that. And he yells, "Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?" And by now, the sinner is on his knees, trembling even more. I do, I must, but why do you come to me?" "Well, I wander the world all over," the Spirit says, "looking to save the lost. And I have sat by you so many days, watching you in your sinful ways, working away on a weight of sin, of shame, of guilt. And you have labored on it for years and made such a heavy and long burden, a long chain, and you've made it link by link and yard by yard. It's a ponderous chain." And he looks at himself and the sinner says, "I don't see a chain." "Nay, it's invisible until the moment you die." The sinner says, well, all I've ever done is be about my own business. That's all a man can do, is mind his own business. And the sinner says, or the Spirit says, business. Knowing Jesus Christ and following Him is your business. Caring about mankind is your business. Love and charity, forgiveness and forbearance. Minding your own business is only a drop in the huge ocean of human business. But at this point, the sinner is shaken, and he says, please, speak comfort to me. And to his shock, the Spirit says, I have none to give. But I have come to give you a means and a hope to be spared from the condemnation that you're facing. And the sinner says, well, that's awfully kind of you. And the Spirit says, I'm going to come 3 times after this to haunt you. And the sinner says, is that the means and hope that you mentioned? It is. Well, then I think I'd rather not. And the Spirit says, if I do not, then you will have no hope. Expect me the first time when the bell tolls 1. But the sinner, being a little bit of a smart aleck, says, well, why can't we do it all at once and get it over with? But the Spirit ignores him and walks over to the window. And he says, come and look. Come and see, that you may remember what has passed between us. And as the sinner walks toward the window, shaking and just trembling as he goes along, the window raises. And he hears screaming and crying and moaning. And as he looks out, he looks in horror at the scene that he sees. And he says, what is this? What are these? And the Spirit said, these are the spirits of the unbelieving dead, who wish they could live their lives all over again and live them right with Christ. But they've lost their power. As he looks, shaking his head, he turns to the Spirit, but the Spirit is gone. He closes the window real quick, and the sounds die. And he runs through the room with his hands on his ears. And when he drops his hands, he hears nothing. The room is as it was. And he looks around and flippantly says, it must have been something I ate. But still, he can't get it out of his mind. And he goes off to bed for a fitful night's sleep. Well, for a little while, the bell tolls 1, and one eye pops open, and he looks about the room, still uncertain. And then the Spirit appears near his bed, smaller than what he appeared in his bedroom earlier, more melancholy. And the sinner says, who and what are you? And the Spirit says, I am the Spirit of God, and I've come here to show you the past. Long past? No, your past. Well, the sinner says, why? The Spirit says, it's for your benefit. He says, well, an uninterrupted night's sleep would be of greater benefit. The Spirit says, your salvation then. Rise and follow me. The Spirit takes the sinner back through his history, his life running before his very eyes, starting with when he's a child in school. All the good things, the friends, but also the hurts, the pains. Up through his first job and the joys and the struggles of that and love. And then through his work years, seeing the things, the opportunities he had to get things right, but also seeing the things that hurt and challenged him and drew him away from the Lord. So that by the time they get to the end, and they're just looking at him standing there after a loved one has died, by now the sinner is in tears because all the hurts and the pain that he buried over the years are now raw in his consciousness again. And the Spirit says, look at your face. Such a selfish, greedy, covetous old sinner. And he puts his head in his hands. He goes, no, no, no more, please, no more. And then he realizes he's in his own bed. And he crawls up to his pillow. He says, oh, just a bad dream. And he falls off to some more fitful sleep. Well, the bell tolls too. He opens both eyes this time and looks around and nothing. He thinks, ah, it was a bad dream. But then he hears laughter, joyous laughter, and a voice calling him by name and saying, come, come and know me better, man. And he gets out of his bed, half scared, half angry, and he goes into the other room where the bright light is, and he sees the Spirit like he's never seen him before. He's all decked out in beautiful color, bright light, and all around him is so much bounty. And the Spirit says, you've never seen the likes of me before, have you? He says, no, and I wish it had been indefinitely postponed. The Spirit's a little surprised and says, mortal, have you learned nothing from what you've seen so far? He says, but I'm too old to change. Go and save a younger man. The Spirit says, mortal, I do not live just on one day of the year. I live all 365. I travel here and there to reach the lost. And so does the one who was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. Born in a stable, lying in a manger, worshipped by shepherds, and later by wise men. He lives every day because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have chosen not to seek him in your heart. And so now you will seek him in the hearts of those who have. Come. So the Spirit takes him out into the street. It's Christmas Day. The sun is shining. The air is crisp. Snow on the ground. People wishing Merry Christmas to each other. They go into a nearby church. And he witnesses the people singing hymns unto the Lord. And he notices some look a little bored, but others look sincere and earnest. Things that he often made fun of. And after a little while, the Spirit takes him on a journey to see different parts of the world. People in different settings, people of different languages, common people, ordinary people, poor people, miners, sailors, lighthouse keepers. The list goes on and on to show him that Christianity, the belief in Jesus Christ, the church, was not just a little local headache for him, but it was for all people around the world. They come back into town to a house, a relative's house, a relative's house that he really never enjoyed going to because the owner of the house and his wife are Christians. And he always felt uncomfortable around them, but they're there and there's a party going on. And he listens to them and he hears the couple, the Christian couple, talking about him and wishing him well and feeling bad that he is the way he is. And they have the hope that one day he will wise up. And they pray for him. And they invite him every Christmas. And being his usual self, he just scoffs at them. And others that are there, unbelievers, they also have some things to say about him that are not very nice. And they sting a little bit. The Spirit says, come, we have one more stop to make. And they go to a poor man's house. A house where a man that the sinner knows, but not very well. They enter the house and it's obvious it's a poor man's house. They don't have much. But he marvels that even though they have so little, they're so joyous. They speak well of each other. They care about each other. They're celebrating the joy of Christmas. And he notices one little boy who seems to be crippled and weak. And he marvels that his siblings look after him. As they sit down to their feast, he makes the comment that it's such a small feast for such a family. The Spirit whispers in his ear, it's all they can afford. Well, before they eat, the man of the house offers a prayer. And the sinner is stung by the prayer because he can't understand why these people have so little to be so thankful, so grateful. But after the meal, and everyone's had their fill as much as they can, there's a little special moment between husband and wife as they kiss under the mistletoe. And then the father says, "Everyone grab your glass." And each one picks up a little cup with a little bit of punch, as much as they could afford. He says, "A toast to Christmas." And the youngest one, the little crippled boy, says, "And God bless us all, everyone." The father smiles at him, and they drink. Then they gather in the corner, in a circle, and they begin to sing Christmas carols, the Christmas hymns that they all knew so well. And as the sinner's watching the little boy closely, everything starts to get dark. But he watches until he can't see the little boy anymore. And he realizes that now he's outdoors, in the dark. And before he can ask the Spirit, "Where are we?" the Spirit says, "Will you learn from what you have seen in the hearts and lives of these people, of these believers?" And being honest, he says, "I don't know. How can I promise?" And the Spirit says, "Well, if that's too hard of a lesson for you to learn, then learn from this." And he pulls his robe apart, and there are two decrepit little children. And the sinner is aghast. "What are they?" And the Spirit says, "They are your children, the children of mankind. This boy is ignorance, and this girl is want. Beware them both, but especially beware this boy, because the ignorance of God's will, the ignorance of God's word and His love, will destroy each and every human being and destroy culture and destroy the world." And the sinner doesn't want to hear that. And he turns part way and says, "Cover them, I don't want to see them." And the Spirit says, "I thought as much." And he covers them. He says, "They're covered, but they live. They live." There's a few moments of silence, and the Spirit laughs again. "It's time for me to leave you, mortal man." And the mortal says, "What? You can't leave me here. I don't even know where I am." And the Spirit just laughs and says, "It's too late," and slowly disappears. Well, the poor sinner doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what to think. His mind is going in circles and never stopping at any point because he's totally confused and totally lost. And then he turns and starts running blindly, when suddenly there was another gong, another bell, and he stops with a scream because right in front of him is a ghostly, dark, featured creature standing there with light all around him. He knows what it is. And he starts to cry. And then he looks up at this spirit. He says, "Are you the picture? You're the spirit who's going to show me the things that haven't happened yet but will?" And the spirit just nods. He says, "Won't you speak to me?" And the spirit does not respond. Dejectedly, he bows his head and says, "Lead on." Next thing the sinner knows, they're in a place that he knows well, where there are people he works with. And the people he works with are standing there, and they're talking. One says, "When did he die?" "Last night, I heard." "What did he die of?" "Well, I have no idea." "Well, I guess there will probably be a funeral at some point, but I can't waste my time on funerals. If they have any visitation, I might go for a minute or two, but, you know, I just don't have time for such things." "Well, I don't either." "Well, maybe we'll make up a group and we'll just go for a few minutes, say hi, and then we'll go for dinner." And that's what they decide, and they walk off. Well, the poor sinner standing there, and he says to the Spirit, "Who are they talking about?" And then he realizes, "Wait a minute, I should be here. Where am I? Where have I gone?" And in a flash, he finds himself in his own bedroom, all darkened, with a dead body lying on the bed covered in a white sheet. The spirit points, and the sinner shakingly moves up to the bed and reaches out, but he can't quite touch it. He says, "Spirit, show me some emotion over this man's death." And in a flash, they're in an office with a lawyer sitting at a desk and some of the family members sitting around and some of his most precious possessions that he always kept either on him or on his dresser are there on the desk. And they're all fighting and arguing over his possessions and who was going to get what. And some of the things some of the family said were pretty harsh about him and about one another. And they're fighting over all of these things. And he turns to the Spirit and says, "Spirit, I asked for some emotion and all you show me is avarice and greed. Show me some real emotion, some compassion, some love." And a door opens and they walk through and they're in the house of the poor man. And it's quiet. And he looks around and realizes that the little boy is dead. And the family is grieving. But to his amazement, he sees this family in their grief also with joy because of their confidence in Christ. They have their sadness, but they talk about what the little boy meant to them and their assurance that they will see him again in eternity, that he will always be a part of their life because Jesus is a part of their life. And they praise God for what he has given to them. And he's never seen faith in action like that. He did not understand how all that really works, but he was amazed by it. And then the father says something that shook him. He said, "I am a happy man. I am truly a happy man." And the poor sinner doesn't know what to think. Suddenly, the Spirit grabs him and turns him around, and he finds himself in a cemetery. "What are we doing here?" And again, the Spirit does not answer. The Spirit just walks through and points to a tombstone. Well, the sinner knows what's going on. And he says to the Spirit, "If a man changes his ways, surely the end will also change. Tell me that's true by what you show me." The Spirit doesn't answer, he just keeps pointing. And the man says, "If a man repents and changes his ways, surely there can be a different outcome to life." But the Spirit just keeps pointing. The man kneels down to the stone and begins to wipe away the snow. And he lets out a sad cry as he sees his name. And he says, tell me that I can sponge away the writing on this stone. Tell me that I'm not already dead. Have mercy on me and forgive me. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. I will remember the lessons that these teach. And I will have Christ in my heart every day. And I will cherish the people around me and help my fellow man. Please tell me it's not too late. Please tell me that you will have mercy on me." And he falls at the feet of the Spirit and saying, "Please tell me I'm not already dead." But suddenly the cold snow that he felt as he fell on the ground becomes hard and warm. And he looks about him and he realizes he's back in his own room. He looks around and everything is there. Even his precious possessions on his night table are still there. And as he looks around, he looks at his arms and touches himself and says, "I'm here." And he's filled with rejoicing. And he praises, while he's on his knees, he praises heaven and he praises Christmas because he has a new lease on life. And he's filled with joy. He jumps up and runs around. And he says, "I feel as light as a feather. I'm as giddy as a schoolboy. I'm as dizzy as a drunken man. I'm just so excited." And he hears the bells ringing. And it's Christmas morning. He hurriedly gets ready. and goes out into the street and says Merry Christmas to everyone he meets. And he goes down the street to the church where the Spirit had taken him. And he joins in with the singing. And imagine the surprise of those right in the back where he comes in and sits down and a man shares a hymn book with him. They're all amazed to see this sinner there. And after the sermon, he comes forward and confesses Christ before all the people who are standing there with their mouths open. He's immersed into Christ, and he's humbled by how the people rejoice over him and welcome him and love him and rejoice at his decision and his coming to Christ. And when he leaves, he knows, I've got people to see. I have things to do to make things better between me and other people. And he sets out to make that day a day of building relationships. And he ends up at his relative's house, where he'd been invited so many times. And he asks if he's welcome. And of course, they welcome him in. And they rejoice. And he says, please, you know, may God forgive me for the time I've wasted. Can you forgive such a pig-headed old fool? And of course they do. Well, he celebrates all night long. The next day he's at work. And he's so happy. All he can do is laugh and cry. And the people that he works with come in and they see this. And they think he's lost his mind. He's lost his senses. He shakes his head and said, no, I haven't lost my senses. I've come to them. I found Jesus Christ, and I found the value of my fellow man. And I will help you any way that I can, if you'll let me. And the sinner becomes even better than his word. If anyone knew how to celebrate Christmas and keep Christ in his life every day, it's certainly this new Christian. Celebrating God each and every day, loving his fellow man. And for that community, he became and becomes a good friend, a good master, a good man, a good Christian. And may that be said of each one of us all. And as the little child has said, God bless us all, everyone.